Okay, we come now to Chapter 8, Responsible Parenting, Part 2, Guiding Your Child's Education. Okay, Chapter 8 in the book is entitled A Complex Equation. It's a fitting title dealing with the challenge of educating our children. You don't find a chapter on this issue a lot in parenting books, and I really like, as I've mentioned to you several times now, the comprehensive nature of Equipping for Life. I love that title and what you're getting at, and the holistic approach. But is there a certain tension between what you talked about in the previous chapter on character and the topic of Chapter 8 in your book on education?
Yeah, there certainly is. And we felt that even in conceiving of the book and in writing those chapters. Like many parents, we've always valued education in our own lives and then also in equipping our children. But at least for me, it's been a little more recent that I've come to see the priority of focusing on character. And there's a certain tension here, but what I've concluded is that we don't really have to choose between one or the other. They're, of course, both very important. And once we've embraced the importance of character, education also has significant value. As teachers ourselves, we're deeply grateful for educators, for the presence of teachers and coaches in our children's lives, and for the vital role they play in educating and equipping our children.
Why is education so important?
So we homeschool, but we still do take advantage of, other homeschool parents and supports in the community this way. So yes, education, we think education, it helps to civilize the child in a sense. It helps to socialize the child. It's a part of our equipping children for life. It expands the knowledge base of our children the world in which we live, and it prepares them for their life of vocation. So obviously we think that is very important. So we have a firm belief in the value of formal education, even though we're homeschoolers, in specific areas of expertise. So we've had people help, in like science, for instance, and math, and those areas where we feel like we've lacked a specific skill. So education can also help us save a lot of time in avoiding mistakes in the future that might come from a lack of learning these insights from the experiences of others.
Early in your chapter, you include a short section on the ancient household and its relevance to the way in which we think about educating our children. Can you give us a quick summary of your thoughts there?
Yes, and I think, that's one example where, in our book, I think we're trying to strike a good balance between, being biblically grounded, being, also informed by sound theology, and yet being missionally oriented. In other words, even though we weave in our own experiences as parents, we look at our book as more than just, some random tips on parenting. So we try to look closely to scripture and take our cue in many ways from concepts that are found there. And this would be just one example. I recently did some research on the ancient household for a project, a commentary on 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus in the Biblical Theology for Christian Proclamation series. And, learning more about the historical and cultural context in which the New Testament was written helped me appreciate just how important the household was in the ancient world, which I believe has important implications for us today as well. Not only was the household considered to be the bedrock of society in both the Jewish world and the Greco-Roman world of the first century, it was also considered to be the center of learning and education. And so that's why in the, pastoral epistles, you sometimes have references to, the false teachers making their way into households and trying to sway vulnerable women, children by their false teaching. because it was the household where teaching often took place. At times, the father delegated his authority to a steward or a manager or a tutor, and it was that person's role to manage aspects of a household, especially education, while he remained accountable to the father. So there's certainly a cultural dimension to the ancient household, such as that a household typically included the extended family. It was made up not only of the nuclear family, the immediate, you know, father, mother, and children, but also of elderly grandparents, widows, and even household servants. And, of course, in the New Testament, we have those so-called house tables, which are directed to the different members of the household. But, you know, the fact that Paul uses the household as a metaphor for the church in his letters to Timothy and Titus shows that we can still learn from the way in which the household was the center of a family's life and learning in the ancient world.
In many parts of the world, we have a choice when it comes to educating our children. We can send them to public school, private school, we can teach them at home. You've mentioned that you've homeschooled your children. You've also mentioned that it's an individual parents' and family's choice. But tell us, how can parents think through the choices that they have to make in guiding their children's education?
Well, we've talked about this quite a bit, especially you know, early on, when I was initially you might say, reluctant convert to schooling our children at home, just because I'd never experienced that, you know, growing up myself. But I gradually warmed up to the idea and now see many benefits. I think there are several factors that are relevant here as parents think through what's best for them and their family in educating their children. One would be the quality of public education in the area where they live. Another would be their financial situation and whether they can afford to send their children to a private Christian school or some other school that might be, you know, very expensive. Personally, Margaret and I believe that while finances are a reality, money is not the most significant factor and or shouldn't be in choosing our children's form of education. You know, on the one hand, we have profound biblical convictions, as we talk about in this part of our book on responsible parenting, that as parents, we ought to take our responsibility seriously to address this question of what's best for our children's education. But we've also been open to those various factors I just mentioned, you know, the circumstances surrounding us. And we've typically, you know, tried to make our decision one year at a time and one child at a time, even though we've tried to coordinate, you know, what our children were doing in a given year. And also, as our children grew older, we allowed them to have an increasing voice in their own education. For example, you know, one of our daughters really wanted to go to public school for grades 11 and 12 just because she felt that she was ready and that would be her better preparation for her for college. And so we certainly, you know, given that she's old enough to have a say in where she's educated, we deferred to her at that point and allowed her to do that.
Yeah, and at other times we've had a time when our children were in the private Christian school, which is just like down the road from us. So that also actually was time to give me a break. One year I did that for two of the children in the home. But, yeah.
All right, for the most part, you've schooled your children at home. Why?
Well, I guess there's many reasons. Like Andreas said, he was not first open to this, but then eventually realized that you could do it at home and do it successfully and do it well. Given that we're both teachers and that we travel amount and we're involved in ministry, traveling, you know, teaching in different places, we really have enjoyed the flexibility of schooling our children at or from home. So rather than being tightly tied to a school calendar, we were often able to combine like a ministry assignment or a conference with a field trip while still teaching our children and traveling. So they benefited from a lot of the experiences we've had traveling worldwide, essentially, and all over the United States. Recently, there's more online options that have been made available, and we've discovered one that we really benefit from these last couple of years, and it's been a great addition to our already wonderful homeschool life. But to tell you, schooling our children at home has turned out to be the best option for us. And so I'll just quickly go through maybe like four ideas here. One is that schooling at home has created a close bond between us, the parents, and the children, and among the siblings. It's been really a wonderful relational experience for our family. Mm-hmm. So especially during the younger years, we've been able to, you know, spend invaluable time with our young children, teaching them from home rather than, you know, sending them out of the home to spend the better part, the best part of their day away from home with others. So I personally, as a mom, have enjoyed knowing my children from when they were very young and mm-hmm. them being with me. Secondly, we can tailor our children's education to their individual interests, abilities, and learning styles. I do have to say, if you're homeschooling four children all at different levels, that is a challenge, even to get to their, you know, abilities and individual interests, because that becomes rather demanding. But it's still possible to some degree to manage that. So we appreciate that freedom. So greater personal attention can be given to each child. And maybe result in an effective education, a better one. So that thirdly, we have more control over the child's curriculum. So I guess that relates to the second one. We can tailor their education. But, we are able to observe what colleges require for admission, and we can offer subjects that go in line with that but be in line with Christian values in our curriculum and not be subject to maybe some cultural influences from a secular school that we wouldn't want, and personal issues such as sex and gender issues in society and that kind of thing that is a common issue in society right now in the educational system. So we have control over that. And then also I talked about the flexibility. So fourthly, schooling from home awards parents much greater flexibility. So I said taking advantage of field trips, and I think it gives the child a well-rounded education.
Mm-hmm. All right, it's impossible for us here to cover everything on this topic, even though in your book you do cover a wide range of issues. But give us a few practical tips that you found helpful in educating your children.
Okay, so Chapter 8, I think, might be where you would get that information in our book. We try to give some specific practical tips there. And I can't fully reproduce everything, but let's see. English and math, in some ways, are the most important subjects from the standpoint of preparing your children for college admissions tests. So those are the two main things that I think you need to be thorough in and be preparing your children from, you know, ground zero all the way up till their, you know, preparation for college. So I would say those are key subjects to focus on, and don't let your child fall too far behind in that. Take advantage of some advanced placement courses when you get to that level, and dual enrollment options even in a local school or community mm-hmm. college can be used as well.
Yeah, I've always been in charge of some of the electives at our homeschool, so we certainly think that's an important part of well-rounded education, certainly sports. There's just a tremendous amount of character formation that goes on when a child, does a team sport, especially our youngest son loves basketball. Also learning one or even several musical instruments. Great to develop diligence, as Margaret mentioned earlier, learning an ancient and a modern language if possible, such as Latin. Personally, I love Latin. I had several years in high school myself, and I've enjoyed actually tutoring, small group of children, including my own, in Latin. German, of course, it's my native language, another great language to learn, even though it's probably not the easiest one to master. Public speaking would be another great option, teaching young people to learn how to express themselves well. That's going to be helpful no matter what they do later in life. And finally, we've also made a concerted effort to talk to our children about sex and relationships, usually right before they enter the teenage years. Again, depending each case when we felt they were ready for that. And in this regard, we found the resources provided by Family Life very helpful, such as their Passport to Purity and the sequel they recently published, Passport to Identity. I've also, it's a little more ambitious, tried to equip my children in the areas of hermeneutics and apologetics, that is, in basic Bible study skills and defending the faith. It occurred to me that I teach those classes at the seminary level, so why would I not want my own children to be equipped in how to study the Bible and how to defend their faith?
Excellent. All right, it's been a lot of really good counsel in this chapter. We have one chapter left. We'll be back next time to finish up with chapter 9.